Hey everybody, happy new year. It's Dean. Welcome to our Money Making Websites call for January. So much going on this year, lots to talk about. Hope you guys are all back into the swing now. It's wonderful and sunny here in Florida, but a little bit cool. I'm almost regretting my decision to wear shorts today, but not really. So I thought I would just get that out there because you don't have to be jealous of this nice, warm, sunshiny weather that we have all year. You can plan on joining us here in Florida in February on the 21st and the 22nd for our big Internet Academy extravaganza. We're doing 2 days this year. I've got so much to share. Lots of new cool stuff coming down the line here. And I want to do kind of a two-day summit this year. So we've got everything arranged at the Florida Hotel, which is attached to the Florida Mall, so very convenient for everybody. There's lots of restaurants and a Starbucks right inside the hotel. And what we'll do is if you can plan on coming in on Thursday afternoon, we will have a little kind of meet and greet Thursday evening, which will give everybody a chance to kind of reconnect and see everybody you haven't seen in a long time. And then we'll have 2 full days on Friday and Saturday. And then a lot of times people will just kind of gather on Sunday morning for a little meetup and everybody will fly out on Sunday. So we've got all the information available. We'll be posting that up on Daily Dashboard today and in the Facebook group. And I'm sure that there will be an email sent to you all about it too. So lots of ways to get all the information and to register. Now, this is a busy time in Florida, as you can imagine. This is actually bike week too, apparently. And so you want to make sure and get your hotel reservation. We've got a room block set aside at the hotel. So you'll want to call right away and reserve your spot. And I am very excited about it. So I'm looking forward to seeing as many of you as we can. Now, kicking off the year, the theme kind of for the year that I'm kind of looking forward to exploring is this balance of, let me start with this. Last year at the Academy, we talked about my top 10 money getting ideas for your real estate business. Last year was marked the 25th year that I had been in real estate. So I really thought about what are the most effective things that I've learned over those 25 years in how to multiply and grow your real estate business. So we spent kind of the day talking about my top 10 ideas. And we're going to really explore deeper how to actually implement these. And I've got, you know, going over all the tools and the ways for applying these to your business and installing them. And so one of the things that we talk about, the number one thing, of course, is know your numbers. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But the next thing is then to think bigger. And I think it's good at the beginning of the year to start off with really kind of evaluating what your intention is for the year and seeing where the big opportunities are. And it's always interesting because a lot of times what I find is that people temper their bigger thinking by their perceived ability to implement or their perceived ability that working harder or setting bigger goals is going to require working harder. And I've been really focused on this idea of how can we counterbalance that. And so one of the things that we talked about at the Academy was this idea to envision what would it be like if you could 10 times your business, not just to incrementally improve or do 20 or 30% more or even double, because what happens is when you start thinking about incremental improvement like that, you start thinking, well, I'd like to maybe do 20 or 30% more or grow by 50% or even double your business. Your mindset is really taking what you're currently doing and doing it a little bit better, looking for efficiencies and looking for just a little more discipline and a little more effort on your part, that if I just do what I'm doing now but do it a little bit better, I could improve by 50% or 100%. And I'd love to have a discussion about that in a few minutes, because I think that that's something that would ring true for a lot of people. But what we talked about was this idea of imagining 10 times in your business. What would that require? And it's interesting, because the reason 10 times as a working number, as a figure, just as a construct to kind of wrap your mind around this concept, is that what it forces you to do is it forces you to kind of put down your pencil and sit back a little bit, because that is not something that you can do by just working a little bit harder or doing what you're doing a little bit more efficiency. That requires radical change. And coming from this paradigm that improving my business is going to require me working more or doing more or trying harder is actually sometimes a block to actually really exploding your business. And so what I want to think about with you is, how can we counterbalance this? And I've been having a lot of these conversations with Dan Sullivan, my friend that runs Strategic Coach. And I met with him in December for a day before my Strategic Coach meeting, that my group that I meet with. And we had a conversation about the counterbalancing effect of thinking about 10 times in your business. A lot of times people think, wow, that's too much. That would be a lot of work. I can't imagine doing that. And it puts us into sort of a anxiety state sometimes, where even though thinking, wow, that would be great, it's an exciting number, and it's no matter what you're doing right now, you can always sort of see that far. That's the visible horizon. It's not unusual to think or know of somebody who's gone from $100,000 to $1 million, or from $200,000 to $2 million. That you know people, you've seen people who have done it, and likewise, whatever level you're at. But when you start thinking about it in terms of working harder or just expanding your current model, it creates anxiety. And so we were talking about this idea of the self-managing company, that if you can set up things that are not involving you in delivering the results that you deliver, that counterbalances that. If you can get excited about an aspiration of 10 times, I'm not saying 10 times this year, but even just as a horizon, as an aspiration, as a vision, and start to just think those thoughts, and then counterbalance the anxiety that may create with imagining what would it be like if that was self-managing. Because in order to grow by 10 times, you cannot do it on your own. You're going to have to involve other people. And you're going to have to involve other people to do, thankfully, the things that you're not the greatest at doing, or the things that you're not that excited about doing or shouldn't be doing, even if they're high-level things. You know, if you imagine, if you take every single thing, every single activity that you do in your business, and you were to write it down on a piece of paper and to start looking at it and sort of highlighting the things that are the real valuable things, the things that only you can do. And, you know, I shared with you this idea of the frustration of trying to be a self-milking cow, of trying to, you know, do all of the stuff yourself, trying to get your milk out into the world. And if you look at the real value that you add, the expertise that you have, the things that require not only a real estate license, but require your experience or your, you know, what makes you unique about this, that there's very little of the process. And, you know, we kind of talked about the idea of if you got right down to it, the things that would be the very most valuable would be doing initial consultations with people who are just about ready to start buying a home, and then doing the offer negotiations and doing listing appointments and listing negotiations. Those four things would be kind of the, if you could get to a point where that's all that you're doing in your business, and then if you could get to a point where, wow, you could imagine all of those things being done by somebody else, and not now. I'm not talking about just immediately getting to that point, but wouldn't it be cool if you could get to a point where you're completely supported in just doing initial consultations, listing appointments, and negotiating offers? That would really be something. And it requires a little bit different thinking. It requires some systems thinking, and it requires people. So we're going to spend a lot of time at the Academy kind of talking about making those systems and making those the tools that you need to have those systems support you in either being that person that does those key roles yourself, or in even getting to a point where you can train somebody to do those things for you. And it's going to be very exciting. That's kind of the path that I'm excited to be heading down with you guys, to make rapid growth in your business happen in a way that doesn't require you. I think I remember reading either on the Facebook group or maybe in an email from someone, if they're on the call, they can speak up. I don't want to speak out of school, but they were talking about setting up the world's most interesting postcard that they kind of, some haven't been as consistent as they would like, because it requires that they send the postcards, that they download and they do the changes, and then they were getting them printed themselves and mailing the cards, and that it wasn't happening as consistently as possible. And so when you think about this, you know, my number three idea on the list is always look for leverage. And so when you're starting to look at all of the things that you're doing, you start looking at them with an eye. Is it possible that somebody else could do this? And so that's the driving force of everything that I'm doing going forward, is looking to how can this be push button for somebody, like one click, you know, how can it be so that all somebody has to do is just install the you know, push a button, and that the postcards go off on without them having to think about it. So that's kind of, you know, we've got that process already set up for you for the world's most interesting postcard. Really, where all you have to do is, you know, decide that you're going to do that, and then we can print them and address them and mail them, and that's all you need to do. We already write the postcard for you. So I've been very excited to see the results that everybody's been getting by just even installing that one system. And I would recommend that when you start looking at your numbers for 2013, on reflection, you start looking at what would be the biggest opportunity that I have. You know, if we start looking at your numbers, and by the way, between now and the Academy, we're going to be doing a census for our money-making websites members to see where you compare with everybody else, so you get a sense of what numbers are, what numbers make sense. And so when I look at this, I mentioned that the first thing that is the most valuable thing that you can do is to know your numbers. And so even just starting with some very basic numbers, like knowing the numbers in your before unit of knowing the top line and the bottom line is how much did you spend on AdWords or on Bing ads or on postcards or anything that you did to print ads to get visitors to your website, and how many transactions did you do just to get a sense of your multiple and to see what your multiplier number is. And so if you spent $6,000 and you made $30,000 from your website, that would be a multiplier of 5. And so I'm very excited to go through this process with you guys and see what is what most people are going through. And so it's going to be an interesting thing. Chuck Charlton was sharing with me I'm going to get the numbers here for you, but did a really great breakdown of what actually happened in the in 2013. And let's go through the let me just get there, sorry. And I will tell you all about it. And Tom Cook concurred that his numbers were the same here. So let's see. There we go. So Chuck actually did a infographic. So what ends up happening is that how he broke down what happens to get 5 transactions. So for every 2,000 visits that he gets to the site, he gets 400 to 500 emails, and then emails those people 5 times a week with his Milton Daily Homes videos with the super signature, with the offers to either meet at Starbucks or come to a home buyer class or come on a tour of homes, all of those things, communicating with them, that out of those 400 to 500 emails, he'll get 100 leads, 100 people will ask for MarketWatch or the guide. He'll take them through the 7-step process and set up 10 consultations and do 5 transactions with a 12-to-1 return. So Chuck's multiplier is 12. So for every dollar that he spends, he'll make $12 out the other end. And that's the number that, at the very least, I would love for you to know coming into the Academy. And we're going to help everybody kind of figure those numbers out and track those numbers. And all the other numbers in between that, like these are easy numbers for you to know. It's just you don't even have to really do any calculating. You know, you just have to know to calculate it out. You'll know how much you spent on AdWords, and you'll know how much you made, how many transactions you did from your website. So at the very least, we can calculate what your multiplier is. And then let's break it down, and that's kind of what we'll do at the Academy, is break down the easy process of figuring out where the opportunity is for you or where the system might be breaking down. You know, it might even be as simple as that you've got a profitable number. If you've got anything above 5, I would say that the easiest thing that you can do is just to spend more money. I mean, we talked about that as kind of sometimes the one-click, set it and forget it business growth system is just to add a zero to things. You know, sometimes if you just do more of what's already working, you know, if you've set up a system where every dollar that you put into AdWords is going to yield $5 at least, then I would say sometimes the easiest thing might be just to double the amount of money that you're spending, or spend the maximum amount of money that you can spend. If the number is not five, or at least five, then we need to look at where are you missing out here. And I suspect that a lot of it might be in the connecting and the bonding, where you're because everybody's running with the same system. There's no reason that the system should yield anything different than what it's yielding for Chuck, in that everybody's coming to the same website. Everybody's getting the same process of getting people's names and email addresses, and everybody has the opportunity to send out the MarketWatch newsletter to everybody, and everybody has the opportunity to do the seven-step connection process, but often it's not happening. So that may be the opportunity that is that's there for you. Chuck and I just talked this morning, actually, about even now taking it to the next level, where Chuck was really doing the seven-step connection process, focused on that, as kind of removed himself from the during unit. But now we're talking about moving to a point where somebody else can do the seven-step connection process. And really, of all of the things, that's one of the tasks that's easy to sort of delegate. You know, and we found that even in doing the work here in Winter Haven with Lillian taking over the seven-step connection process, that it actually happened 100% of the time, and that the connections were much, much higher because it was the only responsibility. It wasn't trying to be kind of fit into something. And so, you know, we look at that as a big opportunity for you to really get a support system, a farm, if we're talking about being a, getting out of being a self-milking cow, that you're not running around trying to do all of the stuff. You're not trying to go and roam the pastures and eat your grass and germinate and make the milk and then come in and milk yourself and then take it in and quickly pasteurize it and homogenize it and put it in the bottles and wheel it down to the market and set up your stand and sell the milk all yourself. That's not the way that very successful dairy operations work. You know, they've got the whole process where the cows, all they do is create the milk. And that's really where you've got the big opportunity there. It's really just focus on what are the things that only you can do and that somebody else could manage for you. So the big numbers in your before unit, at least figuring out what your multiple is. And it would be interesting if I were to ask, you know, you on this call right now, what would you know, even if you were to sort of ballpark, what is your multiplier? And if you don't know that number, that's kind of the thing that, you know, I would encourage you to at least look at that. Now, in your during unit, when we're looking at your numbers, and at this academy, by the way, we're going to talk about all of your units. We're going to talk about the before unit. We're going to talk about the during unit. We're going to talk about the after unit, and really setting up an integrated business, because that's really what that's really what the big opportunity is, to 10 times your business, or to set up a self-managing company for yourself, is to really look at it as a whole. So in your during unit, the most exciting thing to look at is, and I think the big leverage opportunity, is to look at your listing process. When you look at the listing side and you start to think and measure and monitor what's happening with every listing you take. Are you getting the other opportunities, the strategic objectives? So one of the things that I would love to see for you is looking back over your last 10 listings. How many of those did you reach the strategic objectives? Because every listing brings with it at least five opportunities for an additional transaction. So what we look at looking back is, out of the last 10 listings that you had, how many of them did you actually get sold, whether somebody else sold it or it sold on the MLS, how many of the last 10 listings actually sold? Then how many of them did you find the buyer? How many were you able to double end? When we were looking back on Julie's numbers, Julie Matthews' numbers at our academy last year, we were able to double end 14 of 28 listings. So half the time we're able to find the buyer for that house. And then how many times were you able to find a buyer who bought another property? Maybe they didn't buy the one that you had listed, but you found them because of the marketing you were doing for that listing. And then how many of the next listings in that neighborhood did you get? Did you get the next closest listing? If you look at the 50 homes around that listing, somebody's going to list their house in the next 30, 60, 90 days. How many times did you get that next listing? And then how many times did you get a referral from the seller before the transaction ended? So there's five opportunities every time you put a for sale sign in somebody's lawn or every time you start to talk to somebody about selling their house. And so what I'd love to do is look back at your last 10 and then look forward at your next 10 and say, what systems would I need to put in place to get 50 transactions out of the next 10 listings that I get instead of getting 8 or 10? What's that number, and how can I set up little systems in place to make those things happen? So that's kind of an exciting number for everybody, and that's something that you can look at. And it gets more exciting because a lot of times I've found that people make a decision to send out either, you know, just listed cards or just sold cards or run ads or do anything with a property, but the mindset is that they're looking at that as an expense that's coming out of their half of the listing commission. So when you look at that, they're making the decision that, well, I've got this listing, and right now that means I'm going to get at least the listing half of the commission, and I know it's a good market right now, it's going to sell, so I don't need to have any expenses for marketing that listing. I want to keep my expenses down so that I get more of that commission, that I keep more of it. But that's not what I'm encouraging you to think about is to reframe that kind of spending or that kind of effort away from an expense of marketing that listing to get that one commission as into an investment to get those four additional transactions that you could get for each listing. So, excuse me, we got some great and exciting strategies around that that I'm going to talk about at length in our 2 days together in Orlando. And then in your after unit, the number that I really want to track at just at the very least is how many referred transactions did you get and how many repeat transactions did you get, and making a distinction between those. A lot of times people lump those together, repeat and referral. I got, you know, most of my business is repeat and referral, and the truth is that mostly it's repeat. That if you look at that, that's really what happens. And the referral business that you get often is mostly passive or reactive referral business, where somebody just calls you up or somebody calls you and says, oh, you should talk to my friend. And when we really look at it, that what we want to do is maximize the orchestrated referral number that you get. And I'd love to hear, even just thinking about it, what that process could be. I've been working with a small group mastermind now for a few months, since September in Toronto, and we've been focused on doing what I call focusing on being a market maker. And those are things where when you look at every time that you are showing properties or every time you're going to list a property, that you start thinking to yourself, noticing, what am I, who am I working with? And then starting to think to yourself, who do I know that's in those neighborhoods already that I could let know about this? And sending a quick market maker email, just letting them know. And it's only the current things. If you were to get into this process of just on Monday, thinking through, who am I showing houses to this week? And who am I going to see about listing their house this week? If you just made that process and started to think to yourself, well, I've got these buyers that are looking for townhouses. Who can I let know about that, who may know somebody who has a townhouse? So I would look through all of your database, all of your relationships to see the people who you know who live in townhouses, all the people who have responded to your getting listings, all the people who you have any type of a relationship with that you know that they live in those townhouses. That would be your opportunity to be a market maker. So we've been tracking from September to December, and the results are just phenomenal. I mean, even just in talking with Chuck this morning, he had done 3 transactions from just those first 10 attempts at the market maker. So this is the thing that is like a surefire, easy to install thing that will multiply itself, and it doesn't even cost any money, you know. But setting up the system so that you are in touch with those people and presencing this thought of referrals is a fantastic thing. And so that's why doing the world's most interesting postcard sets the stage for this. And then in addition, whenever you have an opportunity that you are connecting with somebody and letting them know how they may be able to help you. So lots of opportunities there, and I'm looking forward to really kind of continuing that path over the year to really track that. And I want to see who's on board, you know, who's going to really be kind of committed to at least those things, at least like let's ramp up what we can do with your money making website. Let's focus on what we can do with your current listings, with the new listings that you're taking. And let's focus on the orchestrated referral column. So those are, I'm excited about those things. There's that and so much more. We're going to continue, you know, talk. We're going to cover all 10 of the money getting ideas for your real estate business at the Academy in February. And we're going to have the tools and the processes and the measurements to really go about installing all of these things. And you're going to see it's not that difficult to have a pretty significant increase in your business just doing the little things. So, okay, let's open up the call for Q&A. Or for discussion or anything that you want to talk about, *6 on your phone will bring you into the call. I'd love to hear if you've done any of these numbers for last year or what you found in your analysis of doing that or what you're excited about working, moving forward on. So *6 on your phone, and that'll bring you into the queue here. Hello.
Hey, Dean, it's Michelle.
Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing good. So I just have a comment about the thinking big thing.
Yeah.
And so I've started playing this game, and I, whenever I have lunch with anybody or meet somebody, and then I do it with myself every day, I think, okay, if I have $100 million I have to spend today, how would I spend it? And I started the game at playing like $100, and then I went to $1,000, and then not long ago I'm like, you know, what would it be like if I had $100 million? And you want to talk about thinking big.
Right.
It's like totally changed like how I think, you know, like I drive by a, you know, a big apartment complex project, and I think, I wonder if I could buy that for $100 million, and what would it cash flow at?
Right. Oh, I love that game. That's kind of an interesting thing, is even just thinking with those bigger numbers, you know, it's really interesting to me to think, to activate that part of your brain. You know, I've been watching, on Tuesdays now, they have the Shark Tank show on CNBC. They're doing all the old episodes. And it's amazing. It's interesting to see how those guys think, you know, how they value things, and really just looking at the role of money in a business. And a lot of times that's something in a small business that doesn't get really thought out. People think more about working without money, you know, because they're used to just thinking about, you know, bootstrapping or going those ways. But I love when you start thinking about allocating capital. That's a different sort of world, because now you can think about what could I do with people, you know, because people, you know, I always talk about people think about automation as like technology, but to me, as long as you're not doing it, that's automated, even if other people are doing it. You know, human automation is still automation.
Right. And, you know, it's really interesting because, like I said to my girlfriend not long ago, okay, so if you have $100 million, what would you do? She said, oh, I'd buy a house about $1 million. And I'm like, you just spent $1 out of your $100 bill.
I know.
And when I put it in that context, she looked at me like, oh.
It's amazing, isn't it? You're thinking different thoughts, and it's kind of that's what's exciting, you know, when you start thinking different things like that.
Right. So that's how I've been sort of thinking, how I can think better about, okay, you know, and if I sort of get thinking smaller, I think, okay, I got that $100 million. What I got to do with it today?
I love it.
You know, so that's just my think bigger thought for the day.
I love it. Perfect. Are you going to join us? Are you coming to Orlando?
I am.
Okay, good. Perfect.
I'm excited about it.
I am too.
Yeah, so I will definitely be there. I'm a coach 2 weeks earlier, but, you know, that's okay. My family can live without me. It's a good thing.
Perfect. Thanks, Michelle.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Hi, Dean. It's Alex calling from Arizona. How are you?
How are you, Alex Goldstein?
I'm doing very well, sir. I am calling with something that jibes very well along your 10 times thinking, but it's a bit different. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. So,
okay.
I have been made a mafia offer that would require my full time and attention and a lot of travel. And so I am seriously considering putting aside real estate for the moment to pursue this, and perhaps permanently.
Uh-huh.
So I am looking at this fantastic, you know, asset in terms of the get response list and the website and my reputation and all these great things. And as much as I value the opportunity that's before me, I'd hate to just walk away and, you know, not have anybody else run with it or have nothing to show for it.
Right.
And so I was wondering if, you know, you had any thoughts on what I might be able to do to, you know, kind of keep things going or in some way reap some benefit from this if I did choose to take this opportunity.
Right. Well, I mean, the very least is that you could find somebody who would just buy that asset from you, that, you know, or agree to a payout of, you know, on a referral basis or something for all the transactions, because if you keep your numbers and you know that right now you've got X number of people in your get response account and you can show them this is the pattern and this is how long they gestate, the more of a detailed picture that you can paint for somebody and then extrapolate into the future what's going to happen based on your numbers that people who have been in. How long have you had your website now? It's been several years, right?
I think it was, maybe three years, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got enough that you can look back at the people who came in sort of in the first 6 months. If you were even to break that 3 years down into six time periods, you know, or every 6 months kind of thing, and you say, this group over the next 2 years turned into this much, and this group turned into this much, and this group. So you can kind of get the 1 year and the 2 year value of today's leads. Even just marching the last 2 years or the last year's worth of the get response list has at least 50% of the value of what it brought in the first 12 months, you know?
Sure.
So that having somebody just take that over, or having somebody, especially if you think there's any chance that you might come back to it, is having somebody, putting somebody in place under you to run the whole system kind of under your banner or under your direction.
Yeah, I mean, my sense of it is that I think it's going to have to be a sale. I don't think it's something that I can manage somebody, because I just think that I'm just not going to have the time to be able to do that. So my thought was to sell it. And the challenge that I have is that, you know, I've really followed the advice of being tightly focused. So, I mean, I've really focused on my one town. I haven't got outside of it. And it was kind of funny because, you know, just yesterday I had a couple of appointments. And, you know, in one appointment I showed up, the guy says, I can't believe, how many of people that I've touched, you've touched. And he says, whatever marketing you're doing, it's really working, you know, because there's this overlap. And then at the next appointment, it was the same thing where basically, you know, somebody had kind of come into my funnel and ended up doing business with me, but they had already, you know, contacted those other agents, but they ended up working with me as a result of the marketing program. And so the challenge with doing a referral is that you always have that thing where if it's a small area, you know, somebody could very easily make the argument, well, you know, I already know these people, and it's hard to have a truly fresh lead and to value it on that basis. So I just didn't have any clue how I might make
an
argument.
Well, I would probably, I mean, you've been doing getting listings in that same area, right?
No, I've really focused on the money making website
side. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was going to suggest that could be, you know, that whole triangulation there, that whole database has value too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll let you know how it turns out. You know, it's certainly bittersweet because it's exciting, you know, to do something that could be 20 times as big, but it's also, you know, it's kind of like when you take something from nothing and have this reputation, you know, you look at the people you've helped, it's also hard to walk away from that too.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Dean.
Very exciting. Okay, thanks, Alex.
Hey, Dean. This is Chicago.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing well. Can you hear me okay? I'm actually at a Panera Bread, and there may be some background noise, so I wondered
if
you could...
I can hear you just fine. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay. I wanted to ask you kind of a multifaceted question. You may or may not know that I'm switching how I'm handling my money market or my money-making website with you from a realtor that I was partnering with. I have now gotten my own license.
Yeah, Lillian told me that you got your license now, so that's awesome.
Yeah, and it brings with it some opportunities besides actually doing something productive with your website, because I won't go into reasons as to what happened or hasn't happened as I would have liked it to. I'm intrigued particularly with your 90-minute book concept.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering your thoughts on how I can integrate that into my marketing funnel. And it's really, there's three different directions that I want to go in, and I think that each of those three would probably require its own separate 90-minute book.
Mm-hmm.
So
that concept has really been like an incredible thing. I mean, it's taken off here, and the whole idea, and you've essentially got the How to Sell Your House for Top Dollar Fast booklet is essentially the equivalent of a 90-minute book. And just having things that are addressing the questions or the conversations that are going on for people are really very valuable. And I guess the big thing is that it doesn't matter whether the book is 50 pages or 250 pages, because people are making the decision that they want the book based on the title. So who is the audience that you're looking for?
Well, the most obvious one would be the one that I'm attracting already through my money-making website.
Yeah.
So that's target number one. Target number two is I'm seeking additional investors who would want to front their money for the flips, the house flips that I'm doing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the audience. And then the third audience would be realtors. I have decided through research and so forth that I believe that, and you may have heard of a relatively new realty firm called ESP.
Uh-huh.
There's a big opportunity from a recruitment standpoint because of the splits and so forth that can be offered through them as opposed to somebody who's working a traditional brokerage where they're paying more in fees and so forth and not keeping it for themselves. So those are the three different markets, and obviously one book is not going to be able to handle all three things.
Right.
So I think my question maybe specifically would be, of those three, which do you think I could monetize the soonest using the 90-minute book?
So I would say, you want to look at that the book is really the lead-in to the next step, So you start thinking about if you're talking about the flips that you want to do, if you're talking about getting investors involved in that, that might be a book about, you want to think about what would be the title of a book that the person who has money that they want to invest in a flip without doing any of the work would be good,
Right.
And so maybe that is the, maybe that's the focus, What would be, would it be appealing to them to be able to say, how to flip homes without doing any of the work kind of thing? Is that the appeal, or what would be?
I think so, because it's a fairly short investment period, 6 months. And in that 6 months time, they can basically just do nothing, using a system that I'm working with that, is having great success to generate a whole lot more return for their money than, currently parked, in some retirement fund or pension fund.
Yes. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, the concept isn't anything radical. I mean, it's a very common idea, but it's how do we, take advantage of the 90-minute book in order to back them versus my competition.
Yeah, that's perfect. So you can, on ilovemarketing.com, a couple of episodes down the page is the 90-minute book episode, and you can actually download the 90-minute book PDF, or the paperback is on Amazon. And that book is exactly created using the 90-minute book process, I'm excited for this process for everybody. I mean, it could be, there could be any number of ways to use a process like this to talk about whatever conversation might be going on. I think I posted in our Facebook group, I saw the article that said, when does college make sense, or something similar to that. And I was thinking about the doing a book like that of, you know, when does it make sense to refinance as a, you know, an example of that? Or when, you know, when does it make sense to rent? And, you know, send that to renters, just thinking about whatever the process is, you know, and you essentially think about it as a one-hour consultation for somebody, you know, that you, what would be your best advice? What would be the best things that you would say to somebody there to present your whole, the whole opportunity?
Yeah. No, I have listened actually to those downloads, and that's, you know, you came up with some pretty clever titles, you know, and the examples that you did during those episodes. So
The interesting thing, I couldn't believe that this was available. Like, I am, it's amazing to me that these some of these titles are available as domain names. Like, I just registered yesterday the heartattackhandbook.com as in preparation for doing a book with a cardiologist. And when I was in Australia I did a Breakthrough Blueprint event in Australia, and one of the guys is a fitness guy, and we came up with 90daysixpack.com, and which the domain was available. Like, it's amazing to me that nobody has thought of these domain names. The good news is that not many people think outwardly focused, you know, so there's still lots of great opportunities and lots of great domain names available, which, you know, make great book titles too.
Okay. So anyway, of those three potential markets, do you think that the investors might be the one that I could monetize as soon as by using a 90-minute book?
I think so, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed that, those episodes. I thank you for that, and I thank you for all the ideas you were throwing at us today with regards to leveraging our time.
Awesome. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Dean. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys. Star 6 on your phone will bring you into the queue here. Here we go. There we go. Ron Cedillo, is that you?
Hey, Dean, it's Ron.
How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Man, you've been, like, on my mind for, like, the last month.
Wow.
Seriously, I'm pretty much caught up on all my I Love Marketing podcasts. I'm getting manicures and pedicures. And
I saw the picture. I love that.
Hey, going back to your 90-minute book.
Yes.
What is the process? I got it in my mind, the book, just needed an outline, and what do we do next?
Well, so, I mean, the whole process is to, you know, the 90 minutes is basically spending 30 minutes doing a good outline and getting the titles and everything right, and then the 60 minutes is about recording either as a conversation or just a talk yourself, and then getting that transcribed and then getting that sort of edited into a format that flows, and adding in the titles and the subheads, and then laying it out in a paperback format. And I've been using Create Space on Amazon as the publisher for all of that. So you can essentially get them printed and delivered to you, or you can put them on the Amazon store so that people can buy them and get them shipped with their Prime account or whatever they want to do. So that's the whole process right there. And so what we've done is set up a whole, I have a team that does that whole process for people now. So a lot of entrepreneurs that want to get these books, they can go through the whole process, and all they have to do is the 90 minutes, and we do all the rest, get the cover designed, get the, you know, the transcript, and work with Susan Austin to get the content together, and she does the interviewing for people, and then we get the transcripts edited and get the cover designed and get it laid out in our book process and set it up on CreateSpace. So that is kind of one of the, everything I'm doing is kind of moving towards more of the one-click type of arrangement, you know, where you just kind of set it and forget it for people.
Correct. So how do we sign up?
Right now, if you want to do one, you said just send an email to 90minutebook@gmail.com. Did you download the actual book or get the book from Amazon? Okay.
I read it
already.
Did Sean Phillips' book.
Oh, good. That was a fun process, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've had something in my mind for so long, I just need to get it done.
Perfect. And that's part of the thing is that people have this rolling around, and if we can just set it up so that 90 minutes from now they've got their book, that's the perfect thing.
Perfect. So. That's really what the goal is. I just want to get it done. I got to tell you, between listening to you on these calls, the I Love Marketing podcast, a little of the 10X, it's motivating, and
I'm thinking bigger.
Done. Two big projects this year that I already have going, and I realize I try to do things myself, and I just fail miserably. I just need people to do them.
That's exactly it.
And
that's the thing is the power question to be asking is who. You know, everybody as entrepreneurs, we've all got lots of whats. You know, if you could focus on what you want and clearly defining and describing what you want, the next question should always be who can do that rather than how do I do that? You know, so that's the shift is focusing on the what, which is always driven by the why in the first place. Why are we even doing this in the first place? You know, if that's my big goal, what do I want that's going to help me move towards that why? And then who can do those rather than how do I do it?
And I think that was one of the key learning things that I learned last year from you, the who.
Perfect. Great.
And you know, it's, believe me, I get into battles with even my own agents. I go, why are you on a call? You know this stuff. I said, because every time I call and I listen in, I learn from one of the
managers. That's awesome.
And it's, you know, they go, that's unproductive time. And I go, no, it's the best use of my time. And it's the difference between selling a lot of homes and just a few.
That's exactly right.
And I don't even show properties anymore. I mean, I haven't done that in 7 years.
That's awesome.
And we ran our numbers for the year, and we did 401 homes in, you know, as a company. And I think just my wife and I's productions are roughly about half of that, 200.
Right on.
And believe me, I show no homes.
I love it. That's the thing. You can't. That's part of it is you can't. You really can't do it.
No, it's the team, and you, it's your learning and the teaching that I spend. You know, it's well worth it. So great use
awesome.
Of my. This is the most productive hour of my day right here. That's the scary
awesome.
Part.
I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. I will record it, send it to you, and let's just get it done because that's really where
awesome.
I just need to do it. So thank you very much. That was a big question for today. Is how do I get this thing done now?
Awesome.
Thanks, you.
Man. Okay, guys. Well, that will wrap it up for this week. Now, I'm hoping that I get to see all of you in Orlando. Watch the Daily Dashboard and watch the Facebook group, and we will put up all the details for you. And make sure that you register right away and get your hotel reservation so that you can take advantage of our room block. Okay, thanks for calling in, and I will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.